Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Stevie Wiebe here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to the B-Boy Vinsanity episode. I met him through JK News, through David So. It's David So's buddy. And I'm glad I met him. I was a fan of his videos on YouTube already. My favorite part of his interview was when he described getting into b-boying when he was a kid at a rec center. He had to dance against a whole group of other kids as far as a rite of passage. I found that very interesting, so I hope you enjoy the episode. He teaches kids for a living, and yeah, he's a good dude, so tune in. Thanks.
Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Wiebe Show. We have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome B-Boy Vinsanity. How you doing, man?
Pretty good, man.
Thank you so much.
I didn't know you play piano.
Oh, no, I kind of do. I kind of don't.
That was very relaxing.
Thank you. Thank you. This is a historical night. You know why?
Why?
This is historical in the fact that you are the first dancer or b-boy or any kind of dancer to be on the show.
That's
so
awesome.
Do big ups to that.
Thank you for
you're
inviting
the first
me.
Right, Bryce?
Right.
I've reached out to other b-boys and other dancers, but I don't know, man. There a lot of them are too busy, huh?
Yeah. Just dancers. Can't rely on them.
You can't rely on them. How did we meet initially?
At JK News.
Shout out to JK News, their whole crew. JoJo, Bart Kwan, who am I missing?
David, Tiffany.
David So, Tiffany, Gio.
Whoever else is there.
They're good peoples.
Yeah.
And they have their own facility.
Yeah, they got... I remember like when they were in the midst of opening their new space.
Oh, I haven't been to that one.
Oh, their office in downtown?
No, I haven't been to that one. I've only been to the one where I met you.
That one's really nice. Like
I bet. They're making bank, huh?
I don't know.
But they're doing well.
I think they're doing good.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Let's go back. So after we filmed, because I was there that day, and then we're at the end of our day, and then you walked in, and you were near David So.
Yeah, I was just...
chilling.
I sometimes do editing work for them.
Oh, you do? I didn't know that.
Yeah, and okay. Then so I was there picking it up and then just chopping up with David. And then
you guys are homies, right?
Yeah, I've known David since we were about like 15, 16.
Really? You went to the same high school?
No. So one of the guys that I went to high school with, one of the guys I used to dance with, is a family friend / cousin of him.
Wow, yeah.
So I'd go to Thanksgiving dinner all the time.
And
David was just always there.
Always there.
So I just knew him as a guy from Thanksgiving dinner. Yeah.
Are you Pinoy, dude?
No. I'm half Japanese, half German.
Oh, that's crazy.
So I'm, access powers.
Yeah.
100%.
Wait, is your wife Filipino?
No. My wife is Vietnamese.
Oh, okay. That's what's up.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, because I couldn't tell. I'm like, You could be. I was trying to figure it out. I'm like, where is he? Could be.
Yeah, not everybody thinks that though.
They think you're Pinoy.
Yeah, I've been asked that question a million times,
especially in like the b-boy world or something. Yeah, because there's a lot of Filipinos that made break or something.
Yeah, and dancers.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
There are a lot of good ones too, as well. Yeah. Right?
Yeah, yeah. I've had like Filipino moms try to convince me that I was Filipino.
Oh, really?
Like, nah.
That's so funny. That's crazy. But then, on a side note, once I saw you across the room, it's like one of those things where I'm like, where have I seen this guy before? And then I was like, I kept staring at you. I'm sorry for staring at you, but I kept staring at you. I'm like, I've seen this guy somewhere. And then a light bulb went off, and I'm like, I seen him on YouTube somewhere, and where I saw you on a video with Del the Funky Homo Sapien.
That's right. Yeah.
You guys were doing like this three-part series. Sorry, I started drooling. A three-part series on MCing.
Mm-hmm.
And you interviewed, because that's like one of my favorite rappers, like ever and stuff.
And that was like,
how did you link up?
That was super random, because like on my channel, it's focused on dancing, but
B-boy.
Like I've always had this like passion to like kind of link elements together, like try to bring it. Like I used to throw events.
Dude, I like that. Man.
I used to throw.
Dude, that's like.
That's actually
that's
how
keeping
I,
it real, dude.
Like I got into
nowadays
breaking.
It ain't. It's so.
Yeah, everyone's like.
Oh my God.
In their own their own realm.
In their own lanes.
But I actually got into breaking, like, or not how I got into breaking, but my first breaking event, I found it from going to MC battles.
Really?
So there used to be these MC battles in Sacramento, and there was one that was a MC battle / B-boy battle. So that
crazy.
That was my, like, before I was going to B-boy battles, I was going to these MC battles, and that's how I discovered it.
Was this in the
90s? No, this is like 99, 2000.
Oh, wow.
So,
are you from the Bay?
Sacramento.
You're from Sacramento.
Yeah. So
that's crazy.
Central Valley.
Yeah, I'm home. I got some homies up there. Nathaniel's up there. My cousin Eddie lives up there.
Oh, really? In Sacramento? Or?
Yeah, he used to run the FTC, the skate shop in Sac.
Oh, really? Was
yeah.
it? I'm trying to think where that
it
is.
It was near near the cut. Is there a capital? Like 6th Street or 3rd? Like the numbers?
It's
near like the federal buildings or downtown?
Was it in the mall?
No, it was downtown. Near,
downtown.
Yeah, I think.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's no longer there.
Oh, it's no longer
there. Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah. So, but that's crazy. So you grew up there.
Yeah, I grew up in North Sacramento.
What was it like growing up there?
It was normal to me.
Yeah.
It was cool. I mean, Sacramento is known to be like small town, big city.
But there's rough parts as well, right?
Yeah. I mean, where David grew up is
he from up there too?
David's from South Sacramento. I grew up in a suburb called Carmichael, which is mainly like older Caucasian people.
Okay.
David grew up in South Sac, which is like, it's very diverse. Like
you see
African-American, a big African-American population. You see a lot of Vietnamese people, Hmong people, Mien people.
There's Hmong up there too?
Yeah.
But that's what's up.
I think, I'm not sure exactly, but it's one of the...
The Hmong are the ones in that movie, Gran Torino, huh?
Yeah.
The Hmong gangs?
Yeah.
Dude, yeah. That movie was raw, dude.
And
I love that movie.
Yeah, well,
it's cool.
It's funny because like if you didn't grow up near like Hmong people, you don't know that who they are, that they exist. Like,
doesn't Fresno have a large population of Hmong?
It's like Fresno, Minnesota, Sacramento.
Minnesota?
Yep, Minnesota's the biggest.
What do you know about the Hmong, fool?
Town across Wisconsin.
Do you know about the Hmong?
Yeah.
Oh, he's from Minnesota.
Wisconsin.
Oh. This guy's from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
But there's Hmong gangs. I'm sure they're crazy. You don't want to mess with the Asian or the Hmong gangs.
I don't really know about them.
Yeah.
But
were there Hmong b-boys?
Every Hmong male is a b-boy.
That's awesome. Are they like short and stocky? They do like power moves and stuff?
Yes, like they're like there'll be like 6 year, I mean not 6 year, but like 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade Hmong kids that got air flares.
So we'll describe to the viewers, because you're our first B-boy, and I know there's a whole language behind as far as these technical terms.
Yeah.
What's an air flare?
So,
Oh, yeah.
So power moves in general is like the more dynamic stuff. So spinning on your head, spinning on your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Flares would be like what you see in gymnastics where you swing your legs around. So air flares is like hopping on your hands.
On your head. What's the difference between that and a 1990?
90 is just spinning on your hand. So air flare would be like the evolution of a 90 and a flare.
Oh, you're spreading your hands out more to
Yeah. Join? You're like hopping from one hand.
Oh, I've seen that on the... I'm a fan of it. Yeah. I'm not so much into it, but I'm a fan. I love... it's like B-Boy Pocket.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He does. He's like
so
the air flare man.
So explain to them who B-Boy Pocket is.
B-Boy Pocket is like...
He's a short Korean dude. He's a recruit called Morning of Owl.
Yeah. He like was this little kid.
He's buff, dude.
I want to say he was like... 8 years old or 7 years old.
But he's buff.
And he had air flares, yeah.
I would not want to wrestle that. If he wrestled, he'd probably throw you on your back. Yeah, you should look him up. This little Korean dude. I think he's from Seoul, Korea.
Yep, I think so.
Morning of Owl is a B-Boy crew from Korea, right?
Yeah.
They're crazy. They look like a kung fu.
Yeah.
Because that one fool wears like...
I don't know.
Like Enter the Dragon.
I forget his name, but...
God, what's his name?
That guy's tight.
He does crazy like... Like kung fu moves.
He's I don't know. He's really good though.
There's
so many dancers. I lose track of it.
Why are so many b-boys from Korea like so good, or in Japan?
I think
Japan and Korea, they got like some dope dudes.
I think
like
it's that like Asian discipline, like
because they practice every day.
Yeah, it's like they like you know how a lot of Asian people are very OCD about. Everything.
Oh yeah, including me.
Yeah, like they
but
want
not,
things
not with that.
So they'll like so they'll like perfect things and they want it to look a certain way.
Right.
So I think that's part of it. Just the Asian culture in general.
Who are you just off top, who are maybe five of your favorite Asian B-boys that you like to just watch?
From Asia or
it
anywhere?
Doesn't matter, it could be Asian American, like it could be like B-boy Roland.
Man, so I mean, growing up in the West Coast, like just people that I saw was Ramine. Like Ramine was one of my
dope.
Like inspirations.
He's one of the guys I reached out to.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but he's no longer on social media.
Yeah,
as far as Instagram.
Yeah, I think he's in
Style
he's like,
Elements. He's from a crew called Style Elements, right?
So he grew up in Stockton and, mm-hmm. and Sacramento, so he was close by.
In Modesto, like a lot of those other cats from Modesto.
Modesto, like mm-hmm. kind of Modesto, Stockton, and then also San Jose.
That's crazy.
That's like one of the, at least on the West Coast, like a very inspirational crew because they...
innovation.
They innovated and they just kind of like proved to the world that it's okay to be yourself. It's okay to like be different.
I lived in Arizona in the 90s because I went to Arizona State. And
really?
I joined like a hip hop organization, like on campus, where like, you know, it could be, you could MC, you could break, you could just be a fan of the culture.
It was like a club?
It was a club.
Oh, okay.
It was a club. But a part of it is like just me attending with some of my homies, like I met in the dorm. I met a couple couple dudes at B-Boy and they would invite us. We'd have like pizza parties or something. Cause we would like, if there was an act coming into Tempe, Arizona, we would get like free tickets. Like let's say the Far Side came in or Digable Planets. We would get free tickets through the club organization.
Oh, what?
But then this guy used to like make us watch these B-Boy tapes.
Uh-huh.
And one of them was the one with, Style Elements battling, Rocksteady B-Boy Summit or
B-Boy
something.
B-Boy Summit. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember watching that in his dorm room. Like, whoa, these guys are, it's the guys that stuck out was Ramine and Crumbs. Is the white guy.
He's not white. I think he's a Colombian. But
We had a ponytail.
He had a ponytail
back
then. Yeah.
Yeah. So that stuck out to me because I was in that club.
And those guys both they changed the game. Like they
in what ways?
Like they just like if you could imagine like. In emceeing, for example, everyone kind of like.
See, I got more into that element.
Yeah, like if
we'd like dance, we'd go to raves in Arizona, but we didn't hardly hit the ground. We would do like up rock.
It's
kind of like housing.
Housing,
Like I grew up during that era where it was more like fluorescent laces.
Yeah.
And there's crews, like housing crews.
Was this in the.
This was in San Diego. This is in San Diego in the 90s.
The
you 90s, know?
Okay.
Yeah, we would sneak to this club called Distillery in Escondido.
Oh,
and there would be. That's the first time I saw the Far Side.
Really?
And it was like a small club. And it was just before they dropped Bizarre Ride to the Far Side or whatever.
Yeah.
Their first album. And it was one of the best rap performances I've ever seen. And I remember seeing the stickers on like the wall, like you know, the fire hydrant with the dog, or and then but there that club had dancers, not necessarily b-boys, but on kind of the cusp of that, where it's kind of like that, but different.
Yeah, like in, I mean, I wasn't part of this era. Like I started breaking in around year 2000.
Yeah, yeah.
But like from what I've been told, like in the early 90s, breaking kind of died out, and like
so that's when the house.
Yeah, and the house scene. That was when the house scene came. Yeah. So that's why, like if you look at like b-boys, like Remind, like they kind of have that like housey feel.
That's why I like him, because he's got his the way he dances reminds me of like that 90s housing and style.
Even in Sac, there's like. These, or not just Sac, but the whole like Northern California, there was a lot of these crews that were like kind of like ex b-boys that became like dancers that would do choreography, and they would have like elements of breaking, and I think in Sacramento at least they called it stepping.
Is that the term?
That's just what they called it. Like, I mean, a lot of people think of that like stomping stuff. Yeah, but that's what they called it.
All right, let's hold that thought. What do you think about the new mattress, man?
It looks nice. Mighty comfy.
Yeah. So you've heard about Purple Mattress? Like
I see it on Instagram every single day.
Let me tell you something. My girl and I, she's not here right now, but we had a crappy IKEA one, and I'm surprised I got any sleep on it.
Can't deal with IKEA.
But this thing is amazing. I mean, I sleep like a baby. I haven't slept so good in years.
My eyes are dropping as I look at it.
I mean, it's just when you lay down, it feels like you're like your back is molding into the mattress. And do I look like I've been getting better rest?
Yeah.
So, man, can I plug them right now and do this whole thing? Yeah, so Purple Mattress is our new sponsor. Shout out to Purple Mattress. Okay, you go there and you go to Purple and use this. You have to use this code, okay? Text DB 474747, and then they'll throw in a free pillow if you check that out, if you get a mattress. Okay, so go to use the code Stevie 474747. It's a hundred night risk free trial. If you're not fully satisfied, you can return your mattress for a full refund. So meaning, man, you could test it out, and if you're not satisfied, you can return it, but I guarantee you won't. I'm keeping this thing for as long as I can.
How many days can you
100 test night
it?
Risk-free trial, right, Bryce? Right. Backed by a 10-year warranty. So that's some confidence, you know what I mean? Free shipping and returns, free in-home setup and old mattress removal. That's what they did here. Dude took out that IKEA one.
That's better than Costco.
I like IKEA. I like getting this desk is from IKEA.
Uh-huh.
It's the good old Mick. There you go. But not so their beds.
Yeah.
So is that good?
Yeah.
And we're going to do another shout out at the end. Go to Purple. Purple Mattress, Purple Mattress, Purple Mattress. Okay, guys? Back to dance history. I love this. I'm a fan. I'm a fan of the elements. I feel like in today's age, it's all about clout and people who don't have the skill set, but they act hella crazy.
Yeah.
Like, hey, look at me. They got tattoos on their faces. Look at me. You know, and it's like, dude, like I grew up like you have to have a skill set.
Yeah.
Whether it's freestyle and rapping or writing raps, graffiti, b-boying, or you have to, or the DJ, you have to have the skills.
Yeah.
So what, you know?
I think like in today's age, there's so many more lanes of, or ways for people to get famous that like.
It's not about that. I mean, yeah. It's so lame to me.
Yeah, it is
on
like.
And on about that.
Yeah.
I'm not hating. I mean, this is the thing. It's like back in the day, like people used to hate on like the house dancing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
But that's the like the mumble rap and this stuff.
You rap, right?
Yeah, yeah.
How do you feel about mumble rap?
I can't. I mean, I like Future that one. I like Future in the sense that it's just. I feel like it takes you like you could like get hypnotized.
Yeah,
listen to like. You know what I mean?
Like I, the other day, I was thinking about this too. I was like, man, like because a lot of people are like, oh, mumble rap is so bad. And I pulled up like this old Cash Money record. And I'm
Oh,
I guess you know, music back then is still pretty bad. And then I heard 21 Savage, and I was like, all right, I retract that statement.
You know what? I wouldn't even categorize that into the stuff we're talking about. Like, that's something different.
He said like three words the whole song. I'm like, this is rap?
Well, what's a famous song? Like,
I don't know. I feel like you could just pick random three words. Like, yeah, that song.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, it's catchy.
Yeah.
My definition, the stuff I like is like going back to Dell and like the Far Side and Boogie Monsters and like Beat Nuts and stuff like that. I like the, I still cherish the boom bap. And I'm sure B-boys feel the same way. They don't want to dance to the 21, whatever. Yeah. They want to dance to like Pete Rock and CL Smooth or something.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I feel like that type of music has its time and place. Like, you wouldn't want to go to the club and dance to Pete Rock.
Yeah. What are they playing the club for you guys to get loose then?
It's kind of annoying.
I mean, if you were to go to the Boulevard right up the street, like...
See, well, I don't know about, like, this, like, right now, but, like, growing up, anytime you'd go anywhere and someone's like, oh, there's some B-boys, they'd play Planet Rock every single time. So it's like...
In the club?
In the club.
They ain't doing that nowadays, though.
Yeah, I don't think they know what Planet Rock is anymore.
They're playing, what's that one? Who's the one that was married to Mac Miller? Ariana Grande.
Ariana Grande.
They're playing that.
Yeah. See, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what they would play now. Yeah. I haven't been to a club in a long time. Yeah.
So let's go back to Sacktown and your history as far as this dancing. Were you a part of any crews up there?
Yeah, I mean, I was a part of a number of crews. The last crew the crew that I'm still in is called Second Nature, and just kind of like
out to Second Nature.
Yeah, Second Nature.
Are they on the internet?
Nah, not really.
It's more underground.
Yeah, it's just kind of like a collective of friends that we grew up dancing together, so we just kind of made a crew.
How many cats in the crew?
It's small. It's like 10.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Well, that's small for a crew?
Well, I guess not. There's been points where I was in a crew is like 30, 40 people.
That's
so
a lot.
Like Second Nature was kind of just like close-knit friends, like people.
How did you meet these guys?
Most of them, like, I grew up with. I went to high school with some of them. I, just kind of, like, traveled, like, went to their high school to battle them at one point. And
that's how you, like, earn respect, or, like, if you challenge someone you respect?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. Like, when I was, when I first got into breaking, I went to this practice spot in downtown Sacramento called Washington Neighborhood Center. And that's where I met.
It's like a boys and girls center type thing?
Kind of. Okay, it's like cool. Just less nice.
Yeah. That's cool. But that's like, good. Every town should have that.
Yeah, they would host B-boy practices. So this is where I met like most of my like B-boy friends.
Just going there?
Just going there. And but the second I walked in there, like as I was like 16, I just got into breaking. I had I just started like learning a little bit more.
You're 15, 16.
I was like
15,
16.
What grade is that? That's like ninth,
like
grade,
10th
grade?
I think I was 10th? In like 10th grade. I was probably like 15.
Right.
Walked in there and then like everybody battled me.
Right when you walked in?
And everybody's really good. And I was like this, like, I feel like I was a beginner at that point. And
how did that make you feel when they kind of ganged up on you?
Well, it was kind of scary. But then after it, like those people became like my good friends. Like they.
So they did that as maybe they kind of jumped you in the gang or something. Kind
of. I feel like it's kind of like that, like tough, like parenting type of thing. Like you can't hang out with this until you prove yourself.
Oh, so when something like that happens, are you like just on survival mode? Like even though you don't have the moves. Well, like, is it just instinctual type thing?
I don't know if it's the same with rapping, maybe, but...
Yeah, I'm not so much of a battler. I'm more of a... I've battled, but I wasn't that great at it. Yeah.
Like, for me, like, when you're battling, like, there gets to a point where you can't think of... Like, there's no more moves that you actually have. But, like just, you're put in that position where you just have to create. And that's where some of the best stuff comes out.
Oh, so you're saying... Even if you don't have the moves, being in the moment, instinctually, you might come up with something?
Yeah.
Really?
And that's why, like, breaking is, like, such, like, a raw, like, element. It, like, just a lot of that stuff is just in the moment. It just happens. And
So there's, even if you've never done this move, if 10 guys are surrounding you, you're going to be like, and then like spin on your elbow or something. Or,
in theory, like for some people,
I love that. That's like tribal, dude.
See, I don't know if that happens for everybody, but a lot of people.
No, I think that's more so in the B-boy world.
Yeah.
And that's crazy, dude. But were you thriving on the adrenaline?
Yeah.
I'm sure your adrenaline as a kid, you were like,
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure at that point, I probably was just falling all over the place. But
still, you were trying.
Yeah.
But you kept getting up.
Yeah.
That's great. I wish technology was around back then so you could have documented that.
Because
that was like a monumental time in your trajectory, like as a B-boy and your dance career or whatnot.
Like, yeah, I wish we had cameras back then.
So after these guys, how long did you go? How many rounds or like how long did they make you dance against them?
I don't even. It was just like because we'd go there every day. After school, from like 5 to 8 PM So for like 3 hours. So from whenever I showed up till we left, it was just
so
like,
right when you showed up, they circled around you.
No, it's kind of like,
not like that. And like, hey, dog.
Yeah.
What's your name, dude?
Nah, it's like, I think you just started practicing. Then someone notices you and then boom, they call you out and just go. So
how would you define, like, when did you, so how did you learn? I love watching your channel, first of all. Your channel is awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Can we plug it real quick?
So my channel is youtube.com/VinsanityTV.
Vinsanity. Your tutorials, I watch them. Do you have a coin drop one?
You watched it?
I watch a bunch of them.
That one, because that one's new.
But then you have other ones too.
Yeah, I mainly focus on teaching breaking tutorials, but I featured a number of people teaching popping, locking, just to kind of expand people's knowledge of hip hop dance.
Yeah, and so how did you learn? Like, is there like a place where you start? Like, where's the starting point for a beginner? Like someone like who wants to just learn? Like let's say me and Bryce we go to your class. Like, what would you teach us?
So, well, for me, if you were to go to my class, it'd be completely different than on my YouTube channel. But on my YouTube channel,
there's tutorials, put your arm here.
And there's a playlist that is a beginner playlist, and you could just kind of go through that. But if it was a class, like I would teach you guys like a basic foundation of just from top to finish.
Your feet, being on your feet.
Yeah,
right?
Just like moving around on standing and on the ground so that you kind of like understand like the mindset.
Yeah.
And then I'll teach you technique.
If Bryce...
How long would it take me?
Okay, see, Bryce doesn't have dancing. Yeah. How long would it take Bryce for him to be like looking okay?
Okay,
where he could up rock and you're like, oh, that's kind of cool. Bryce is up rocking.
I guess it depends who's like judging him.
How do you judge Dan? How do you even judge that?
It's hard. It's like,
isn't it really subjective as far
it
as
it is? Like, because it's like judging art. It's like,
yeah, you're judging art movement.
Yeah, and people have just tried to make judging systems. Nothing has been like super solid, but they're definitely like getting there. Mm. Like, because it comes down to an opinion. Like,
it might take a month for him then.
Yeah. Maybe like,
that's pretty good.
I mean, it depends like how good you want to get, but I mean, I think you could get decent in a couple months.
Bryce, stand up real quick. Just stand up. I mean, are there B-boys that big?
There's some.
Is it harder?
I think it's harder because you have to be strong enough to lift yourself.
Center of gravity, dude.
But on the plus side, I think it looks cooler
when
when you have longer legs and longer arms. There's something about it that looks like a dynamic effect.
I would pay $100. I mean, I would do anything really? If you taught him how to do a backspin.
I feel like if you were to like swing your leg, people would be like, oh, that's cool. But if he were to swing his leg, people would be like, oh.
Oh, yeah, because it'd be like a giant doing it.
Yeah.
How long do you think that
would take?
How many hours?
I mean... How many hours? If you practice every day every other day for like 3 hours for 3 months, I think you get decent.
Can you teach us, man? I want to take a class from you.
Yeah.
You taught JoJo. I mean, you sent me that.
Yeah, I'll put you guys on. Yeah.
Dude, let me tell you something. I feel like he's has some history. Like,
I think so.
Because he was acting like he didn't, but then I'm like, when I saw him, I'm like, he looks like a B-boy.
Yeah. He's got some like natural rhythm.
Yeah. Like he was like, he looked like, oh, this, he dances.
He's probably one of those kids that like jumped around and like rolled around on the floor a lot.
Yeah. But you taught him that? He did that the first day you taught him?
Yeah, first day. But it's kind of like, like I was mentioning, I teach classes. Like I'll teach like a class for 2 weeks. And within 2 weeks, you'll see kids that are actually like impressive and really good. And it's just because you kind of like show them like a motion and not necessarily a technique, but just like a range of motion. And then it kind of unlocks something and then they just go with it. And you see these like little kids that they've only been learning for 2 hours technically.
Yeah.
But suddenly like, wow, that they look like they're professionals. But it's just kind of like you got to unlock that like that range of motion.
Oh.
Yeah.
So let me ask you something. When you see a kid do this in front of you and you're witnessing this, have they hit moves where there's like terms like, oh, he just hit a swipe or did this, and but they don't even know what they did.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, specifically what you said, the swipe. A lot of times I'll see kids like do it on accident. And it's just kind of like
what, describe to the viewers, what is a swipe?
Swipe is basically, if you could imagine, if I'm straight, I swing my arms, my legs will swing and they'll follow. So like there's a move called a coffee grinder.
You have a tutorial for that.
Yeah. Coffee grinder is where you just swing your leg in a circle. A lot of people know
it.
And so,
are you listening, dude?
If you think about the coffee grinder, it
who
like...
Who comes up with these names?
Probably kids.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I like it.
All breaking moves have like funny names.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I like
there's
it.
There's an egg beater, grinder. Yeah.
I like it.
But like that move, like in breaking, it eventually turned into this thing called a two-step or baby swipe. And eventually that became a normal swipe. So I'll teach kids a coffee grinder and then out of nowhere, they're doing swipes. And it's kind of cool because it's like this natural evolution of the move.
Yeah.
Like I didn't even teach them that, but they're figuring it out on their own.
Is the swipe is do... professionals still do that move or they do that's like a fundamental thing that they might do?
I mean I wouldn't say like every single dancer does it, but it's a very common move.
Very common.
Yeah.
What's the most common move?
Most, that's hard to say. I mean, most common, it's crazy because each year there's like trends in breaking.
Oh.
So you'll see like different things. Like when I first started breaking,
you
it
had
was,
to go to the gym or something.
Yeah,
to see it, right?
And even like the way people dress, like when I first started breaking, it was very like very punk rockish, and you saw a lot of people doing like weird things, like putting their foot over their head and like doing specific moves. Like air chairs are really popular.
Well, so explain what's an air chair?
Air chair is like if you can imagine if I'm just like this, but
oh, it's a freeze.
Only my hand is on the ground.
It's a freeze.
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah. So there are people that was like a trend when I first started breaking.
Can you teach Bryce an air chair tonight?
I don't know, but that one might, that's a little tricky.
Oh, because he has to hold himself.
Yeah, it
up.
Requires a little
How
bit
much
of.
How much do you weigh, Bryce?
195.
I can teach him a basic of it.
Okay.
Well, that one.
I can't hold myself up with one hand.
Okay. Well, someday. Yeah. Someday.
Okay, Bryce, I love this. Is so fascinating.
Bryce is
going to
get it.
Yeah, he'll get it. We want to both take lessons.
We'll do it in my garage.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. Do you live around here? Like, where do you?
I live in like Monterey Park.
Okay,
area.
Okay. That's not too far.
Monterey Park, East LA area. Yeah.
So when did you go from, when you met this crew, did you guys enter battles or did you guys go to jams? Like, how does that work? Or do crews show up to jams and just cipher on their own, or like how does that work?
I mean, it started like for me at least, it started out like going to local jams in Sacramento. There mm-hmm. used to be a lot of small ones there. Mm-hmm. And then eventually we traveled to the Bay Area to battle, to mm-hmm. LA to battle, and then eventually we, you know, started investing in ourselves, flying ourselves out to different places.
Oh.
New York, Portland, Texas, all over. And then we got to a point where there's people actually flying us out.
Oh, wow. Just because you guys build a reputation?
Yeah. And
how does a crew build like their reputation?
Just battling.
So you have to battle a bunch of other crews.
Yeah. And I think it's so much easier today because you could battle anywhere, post it on YouTube, and then you start, you know, building a rep versus like back then
you had to travel.
Yeah, you had to be there for people to see you.
Oh.
So you had to go to...
It was a different time back then.
Yeah.
Now kids, if they just go on YouTube, how do I do this? They just type it in. But you're saying back then you had to go.
You had to see someone in person. Like, and some, there was footage floating around like on Napster and
LimeWire. Oh, yeah, I remember that,
And that, like, that's the only way I ever saw footage, is like one clip of the same guy doing like a move. And so it wasn't really much footage. So when I grew up, I was like getting inspiration from like kung fu movies and stuff like that.
Is that what b-boying is? Just kind of derivative of other styles, or like jazz style, or?
I think like, I wouldn't say a derivative, but like inspiration. Inspiration. Inspired, yeah. Oh,
so that's what you could take from anything, like capoeira, kung fu.
And that's what's kind of, that's what drew me into breaking. Because before I was breaking, I was like one of those kids that was just like into doing like extreme stuff. Like I grew up like trying to.
Oh, like Parker. What was it called? Is it
parkour? I guess
parkour.
I don't know if it was like back then it was parkour. I was just jumping off stuff.
Jumping off stuff.
But I was really into martial arts. I'd watch martial art movies. I'd like train like a martial artist.
How did you learn all this stuff? Like, cause I'm watching your videos. Yeah. You know, a lot of these moves.
A lot of it was trial and error. Like I would, like at least when I first started, it was trial and error. And then it wasn't until I was older till I started learning, like relearning the actual terms and techniques of stuff. Yeah, because when you, like back then, there was there wasn't like somewhere you could go learn. There wasn't at least in our city, there wasn't like a class you could take.
You had to go to it like and really see them in action.
Yeah, you just had to do. You learned by trial and error, pretty much.
So, what was your crew's mentality like battling and like? Did you guys have the same mind? Like, did you guys have like a strategy before going? Like, how does that even work?
Oh, actually, that's actually a good question. Like breaking, like I feel like it's almost like a game of chess. Like
so if someone guy from their crew does a certain move, and then you have a specialist that can match it,
exactly.
You'll be
like,
okay, Seth, you go.
Yeah, exactly.
You go get him.
So it'd be like, you have like the leader. I don't know if every crew does this, but we did this. We had like a leader, and then whoever go.
Why
like
was he the leader?
Boom.
It was just a strategist.
Whoever like knew the people the best.
It's like chess, Bryce. And then, like, keep going. This is interesting because this is like strategy.
Yeah,
it's like, it's life and stuff, you know?
And it would be like, we would even come up with strategies with like routines, like, oh, they did a routine. We need to do this specific routine to beat that routine. Oh,
so if a crew does, what do you call that? It's just a routine?
Like, routine, yeah.
What's a commando?
Commando is like, say you're dancing and then me and you switch places somehow.
So and another guy, then that's a commando.
Yeah. So it's like not really a full on routine. It's
like two guys, two piece routine.
Not a routine though. It's like just us switching places, but sometimes in a creative way. So like maybe I jump over you or you roll and I roll over you.
Yeah. That's a commando.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So a lot of times people would do
routines.
Are you learning
something or what?
It's overwhelming. I have no
My bad.
I'm trying to keep up.
These are questions I've always thought. I always wonder. I'm like, what is that?
Yeah, so it's...
Because I hear people say it.
They go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people do a routine to a commando. So someone will do a routine and then someone goes out and does a solo. And that's part of a strategy too.
Yeah. What if the guy on the other crew does all power and then you guys are all footwork guys?
See, that's where it gets sticky. Like that's where we would throw...
Like this guy does head spins and he's doing all like windmills and...
That's where we would throw a routine because it's like, man, none of us could actually beat that. So we got to do
like
something.
They have a pocket.
Yeah, we
like
got
a b-boy pocket in their crew. No one, I mean, not many people on earth could do what he does.
And that's hard. See, those things are... That's when it's hard to beat. It's like...
How do you judge that?
It's tough because like how do you judge like crazy air flares compared to like intricate routine? Like,
don't you all have to hit the beat though?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
when you're doing those moves, you're not hitting the beat. Yeah, you're just kind of going into something, right?
And I think that's where
you can beat them.
Don't,
it's called breakboy. You're a breakboy, right?
Don't you
have to do it on the beat, like boom, 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 hit the beat.
That's the tough part about power heads. Like, there's people called power heads that just do power moves,
but they're not.
And
they don't introduce it with a little top rocket.
Some of them, like you think of like Pocket, he kind of does it, and then he'll do like really crazy power moves.
He doesn't look that good when he dances. I've seen a lot of his footage.
See, like
he looks horrible. Like his dancing is horrible. Like, you know, he'll do a thing, but then once he does his thing, you're like, oh, that's dope.
See, like in this day and age, like you see so many people that are more on the side of like being well rounded.
Yeah,
but like
well rounded. Wouldn't you say?
I try. Yeah. I mean, I don't think I'm as well rounded.
Well, I don't
as I
know.
Need
I just watching your stuff. I'm like, well, he looks like he knows all this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In like the 90s, early 2000s, you always had like a power head that just did power, like Pocket.
Yeah.
And so like that would be...
Your crew had one too?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so yeah. So for reserves.
Yeah, we actually, there was like this guy.
He's got the rocket launcher. It's like they do with the rocket launcher.
Yeah,
or
yeah. Yeah, it's
all
like
you guys have like normal yeah, assault yeah. rifles.
He's like, "Oh, we're losing this battle. We need the rocket launcher."
The rocket launcher, yeah. Yeah.
B-boy
That's
rocket
interesting.
Launcher.
So it's all strategy and chess, and who decides who wins? Like, it's just like your response has to outshine their initial move or something, or
so that so judges they base things on a bunch of different factors. So dynamics, musicality, like dancing in general, cleanliness. Like a lot of times if you do a crazy round but you kind of slip, a lot of times judges are like, oh, you lost that round. So a lot of it comes down to cleanliness and just like the overall feel of your round.
Yeah.
Right. So one judge, like if a guy goes out and just does like head spins and then it's amazing, but he just walks away, and then somebody comes out and dances and is like hitting every beat, most of the time the judge is going to pick that dancer.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of hard if you just we're in an era where like you can't get by with just head spins. Like you have to
do everything.
Yeah. Especially in this day and age, like judges are kind of like pushing for people to be well-rounded or looking for that.
Can you be a B-boy with, let's say you don't have any power, but your footwork and your top rock's amazing. Like you could really like the musicality and you could dance.
Yeah.
Can you survive in?
I think.
Or no. Or like.
I think so. Yeah. Like, cause you can like use the music to make little things look bigger.
Oh.
And so like a good example is this guy named Ken Swift. He's like,
oh, shout out to Ken Swift. That's Rocksteady.
Rocksteady. Yeah, yeah. That's
the OG though, right?
Yeah, he like
explain to them Rocksteady crew.
Rocksteady
Ken
crew
Swift.
Is one of the crews that like really put breaking on the map. Mm-hmm. Like they every dancer grew up knowing who these dancers are, and Swift. Like,
if you're into the culture, you know who they are.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, if you're into the culture, you know who Rocksteady crew is.
Yeah, yeah. But he really like. He was one of those guys who showed that you could take simple stuff and just like kill it with that.
Is he like, one of your favorite like kind of mentors or like someone you look up to?
I mean, I don't know him that well personally.
Yeah.
But no, he's definitely someone I've looked up to when I was younger. Yeah.
That's crazy.
And he can still do it today. He's one of those guys like I'm not sure how old he is, but he's still like a good dancer.
Oh, Easy Rock too.
Easy Rock. Yeah, yeah. Man, there's so many.
So right now, like, I'm going to put you on the spot again. Like, right now in 2019, who are some of your favorite? Who do you like to watch?
Honestly,
like, just name three, just off top. You said Remind.
I've always liked Remind. Yeah. Remind's a really amazing dancer. Man, who do I like? I'm like one of those guys. Like I always try to like not watch footage.
Oh, because just in case you pick something, is that what happens a lot?
That's what I think.
Because of the internet,
I think that's like a lot of people. They get mad at like the internet because like you could see everybody dance.
It's like that with skateboarding.
Oh, really?
Well, you could learn if you don't know the trick. You could just look it up and be like, oh, you put your foot here and then you flip that way and then you do it.
So I noticed like. Like people will start doing a move. Maybe it's unintentionally, but because they watched it so many times,
it's biting. It's kind of a bite.
It's biting. Yeah. So like, I try to not watch it because I don't want that even image in my head.
Yeah. So explain to the viewers what is this? Because we're going through a lot of terms or vocabulary. What does biting mean?
Biting is basically where you copy someone's move. So like your moves are like your signature. It's like you're a product of your own creativity. It's not just a basic, it's something that like identifies you. So when someone like copies it, it's like, you know, they're copyright infringement.
I've seen a lot of battles on YouTube and stuff. And then isn't there like, don't they go like,
oh, they go like,
they do something, Bryce. If you watch, if they think they're buying, they'll go like,
oh yeah. I think they're trying to do this. Maybe there's like a weird, like, armpit thing.
But you'll notice it's really subtle. But some of them will go and that's basically telling him like that's not your move, right?
I think that's also the difference between like
so they're not doing
they're not doing the chicken dance.
Oh, they're going like this.
They're going like a shark
mouth.
like a mouth. Yeah.
Oh,
like
that's
chomping.
Okay. And I always wondered that. Like, why do they keep doing that?
Yeah. I, for some reason, I thought, I mean, just going, I always thought it was like common knowledge. But yeah, I was like, Yeah, so that's biting.
That
yeah.
must happen at every battle, right?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's good, because someone's going to do that.
Yeah. Sometimes people just do it, like, to be mean, yeah. but...
Isn't it kind of hard to just have a completely original style in any kind of art, though?
Yeah, and I think,
I mean,
like...
I've always wondered that. Like,
I feel like it was easier, like, 10, 20 years ago, because you had to. Because like,
I'm influenced, as an MC, I'm influenced, like, by the Beastie Boys, right, Del, right. Boogie Monsters, Far Side. I like, yeah. you know, I like New York Cats, you know what I'm saying? And it's kind of hard.
It is
now,
hard.
You know.
And I think in at least in breaking culture, there's such, like, a culture to be original, like,
yeah,
to
yeah, yeah.
have your own style. And it's frowned upon if you don't, like, you get, like, heat from people for
to have your own.
For like biting yeah. stuff. So
you'd be dope if someone had like a ballerina style. I bet you nobody has that.
B-boy ballerina.
They, like, do everything on their toes. Wouldn't that be amazing?
I love that.
Ballerino or something.
B-boy ballerina.
B-boy ballerino.
Yeah, maybe that's your
no,
niche.
I'm not,
that's
no,
your
I'm
niche.
Not, I, no, yeah, yeah. I don't dance. Like, no, I don't. I'm not going
to
ballet.
You like flare yeah. to like pirouette and like.
Okay, so.
Hold your leg up, point your toe.
So you're saying, this is interesting. This is so great. We have a dancer on here. These are things I've been wanting to ask people, like, but we haven't had any dancers on here. How do you get through this art form without like biting like a little bit of foundation?
See, that I think that's hard. That's like that's the hard part.
You need the foundation, don't you?
So you'll see like one thing is like you get inspired by something, mm-hmm. right? Like even like if you talk like writing a story, like maybe you're inspired by a story, but you eventually change that story to your own. Right.
Oh.
And you change things and maybe you have elements of that original idea, but you flip it and it becomes yours.
Yeah.
So I think that's the problem that a lot of people like kind of miss is like they see a move and they're like, oh, I'm going to try it. I'm going to do a piece of this move. And then now it's mine, even though I added this one thing at the end, even though it's still the same move. Mm-hmm. But when you flip something, it's like you take it, you absorb it, and then you make it a completely different move.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you maybe take the concept of it. But,
oh, but you have to, you put your own twist on it.
Yeah, you put yourself, you
Do
put
you
yourself
that,
into
Bryce?
That move.
So it's kind of like you are kind of doing something that's done, but you add your own kind of sprinkles
right.
on it to make it your own.
Right, right.
Yeah, so that's okay though.
I think, yeah, that's okay. When you put yourself, when you put your own personality into your dance, I think that's when it really becomes yours.
Right, when, right.
Yeah.
So isn't there a problem in today's world as far as your dance, as far as like a kid who wants to learn, the first thing is YouTube,
mm-hmm.
and they'll probably watch battles and then don't, isn't that problematic?
I think.
Because they're first initially learning from like copying someone.
Yeah. Well, I think even back in the day, a lot of people, they learned in that way. Mm. But then when they entered their first battle, they got checked and they're just like, yo, you can't do that. Like, that's not allowed.
Wait, well, like, what's getting to this? Another phrase. Yeah, so explain what checked is.
Like, when
that's
someone
a hip-hop term as well.
When somebody comes up to you and says,
hey,
you shouldn't be doing this.
Oh.
Right?
So you've seen that happen?
Yes.
And what? Okay, so if that happens to a kid, there's one or two ways it could go down. The kid could get defensive. Like, oh, hell no, that's, you know,
I guess,
or they could be compliant, right?
Yeah, I guess it depends, like, how, like, where you are. Like, I've been to, like, different dance scenes and communities mm-hmm. where people are really nice and like, hey, like, you probably shouldn't do this versus, like, you go somewhere else and you'll just get, someone will just battle you, like, 100 rounds in.
So, if that's the case, if they want to test you, then who could keep the move, whoever wins that exchange?
Usually it's the creator, the original person.
The original. But that's okay. That's another question. How does a kid learn, even know the history of where it is came from?
Mm-hmm.
How do they learn that?
So there was this documentary that like came out. Like I want to say like late 90s, early 2000s. It's called Freshest Kids, and that was kind of like
I watched that myself. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, I had the DVD of it. Yeah.
Oh, awesome! So
yeah.
I think that's like a good like starting point for history.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now there's actually a lot of good clips out on YouTube that have like
the history
as well.
Oh.
But I mean, like which is awesome because, you know, 10, 20 years ago, the only way to get history is by talking to somebody.
There wasn't
a lot of like information out there.
Go somewhere and buy the DVD or something. Yeah,
or
like
even
that.
Then, like even like VHS tapes that had like just history of hip hop. So,
yeah,
I mean, there was, but like, not like, like if you wanted to learn about hip hop or history of like a certain scene, like you just have to talk to somebody. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's kind of, something that's a little bit lost now, like, you know, people, they kind of stick to themselves versus like communicating with people and learning from OGs of their scene. So
have you seen like one of your heroes at a jam and like walked up to him and actually talked to them? Like just out of respect.
Oh yeah. Like, said like, yeah, much respect, like you're inspirational, but like there's definitely like this in breaking, there's just like this like culture of I don't know how to say it, like you don't like same in like in hip-hop, you don't jock other, like if you're an MC, you don't jock other MCs.
I'll go up to them and just dap them up and leave.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I'll go, hey man.
So same thing in like same
I
thing
did
in
that
breaking.
Several times at Amoeba.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I did
exactly.
That to who else? A Cool Keith. Mm-hmm. I like your stuff, and then
right.
I rang him up. I was a cashier, and I'm like, peace.
Yeah,
that was several people.
I can say I never like turned into like a fanboy because I'm like, I just like if someone did that.
Because if you're into it too,
I feel
get
weird
there too.
Yeah,
you don't want to just give them all. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
yeah. I respect that. I was at Supplantation with my girlfriend just out here around this area, and I saw Paul One.
Oh really? Oh Paul. Paul One's awesome. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But I didn't say anything to him. I just looked at him, and then I just went and got more soup.
He was at Soup Plantation?
By himself.
Oh, what?
Yeah, I didn't mean to blow a spot, but yeah, Paul, explain to them he's one of my favorites.
Yeah, he's also one of the guys from Style Elements mm-hmm. From San Jose.
And he does workshops as well, like you.
Yeah, he's one of the guys who's done a really good job in teaching and traveling. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've taken his workshop a number of times. Mm-hmm. More like,
oh, you've taken his...
As a older dancer, like when I was younger,
to learn.
Yeah, like when I was younger, I never took a workshop ever. But like older, like,
you did it when you were older.
Yeah.
No, what reasons for that?
Just like I mean, mainly for support. Like I see someone like come to my city and they throw a workshop.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
I want to support them.
Yeah. Oh, that's so
and
cool.
And like you know, because a lot of times like when people are traveling with the workshops, they're not making a ton of money. So I'm like, I want to support them.
You
and
can make a living. Right?
You can definitely make a living. But like sometimes, like I've seen people throw workshops and they're traveling and, you know, only a couple of people show up and it kind of sucks. So
how much do you charge a head?
It depends. Like for me, like right now I teach classes in the community. So my classes are free. Like the kids.
Then how you?
Well, I work through a program. So the program pays me. But I provide classes in like. Communities like El Monte, East LA, Santa Clarita, Southgate.
Man, that's
and
a good thing you're
so
doing.
So it's free
that's
for the kids.
That's a great thing you're doing, man. Because a lot of these kids, believe it or not, this might save their life.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them are at the age, you know, they're rebelled. They could either go the gang route or they could put all of their energy in the thing you do.
And that's why I got into teaching too. Because I was
great.
Like, I started teaching just like as a way to... like fund my way in college, like pay my rent
that's
in college.
Cool.
But then I got an opportunity to teach at this high school where I was teaching special needs kids and I was teaching just other kids at that school. And that's where I saw these kids that needed like hip hop in their life. And now that's what like, I was like, this is what I want to do. Like
that's
I want to
so
teach.
Great. What do you think about that, Bryce?
It's very good work. Is Fortnite having a positive effect? I mean, for kids into... Bebop and all, or
say it again, Brian.
Is Fortnite having a positive effect on your scene, or is it negative there? Are they just stealing?
Wait. So Fortnite?
Fortnite. There's dances in there that aren't
necessarily B-boy.
Per se.
So Bryce is asking about a video game called Fortnite.
Yeah. So I don't know about like
I would have never asked that.
I've heard some negative media about it, like because they have taken like dances without giving credit to the owners. But for me as a teacher with kids, I get kids that are already doing breaking moves.
I was never that talented. It probably been good for me to.
Yeah.
So also, oh, kids are learning dances off Fortnite?
Yeah, so it's like, I mean, I've never played Fortnite itself, but it's like these dances that the characters will do. So the kids are all doing it already. So there's a couple moves that are breaking moves that I'm like, I'm going to teach that, and the kids already know it.
Give me an example of that.
So there's a,
give me a Fortnite move. What is that?
There's this one. Yeah, can you ahead. Can it see me right here?
Wait, yeah.
So there's this thing.
It's
like a Russian. Actually, it's a dance that comes from the Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
We call it the Russian kick, where you just switch like this, and you see all these little kids. They already know it. So I'm like, all right, we're gonna learn that.
Wait, how the hell are you doing that?
It's just like switching like this. And like, all right, we're gonna learn that, and then we're gonna go.
Oh,
we're gonna do other stuff.
Oh my god.
So yeah, it's just like.
I can't do that.
That was amazing.
It's like
what
I'm able
you
to.
Do when you went to the side like that, what is that called?
Oh, that's called a CC.
That's a fundamental move, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, very, very common move. So it's like I've kind of used it to my advantage.
You didn't even put your hand down.
It's magic.
Wow.
Dance magic.
That's amazing, dude. Good stuff,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Are you having fun, man? This is.
And I'm guessing. Wait, I gotta take my jacket off.
Take your jacket off. We having fun though? This is great stuff, huh?
Yeah.
I didn't even read one question. This is all, dude. How long has it been?
Three questions for the list, Steve.
This is just coming from my head. Not bad, right?
Hour two. Here we come.
When did you, after during your B-boy crew days, when did you decide to start teaching?
Well, it was in the midst of it, Like I said, like I started off just teaching at some studios to fund my college, basically.
What college you go to?
I started at American River College, which is a community college, and then I graduated from Sac State.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I started out that, and then when I got into teaching in the community, and actually I started working for this program focused on bringing dance to or art to special needs kids.
Yeah,
that's where I really like got into it. And when I graduated,
do you lift weights, dude?
Not really.
You look strong, dude. Look at this. Hold up. This is what b-boying gets you.
I guess so.
Like, is that how do you? Like, you look strong, dude.
I've been practicing a lot. I've never learned air flares in my life until I've been trying recently.
So you can get that body just by dancing.
I guess so.
Bryce, look at this physique, dude.
Man, I got
stuff. We're like flapping.
You gotta start doing flares.
Wait, keep going. Didn't mean to cut you off. I was just admiring your physique there. Like, jeez.
So I got into like working in the community and just seeing like the impact that it had on kids. Like seeing
you see that in their eyes, like, oh man.
Yeah.
Like what seeing, does that do to your soul? Does that make you? That must make you feel fantastic.
Each time it just like shows me like this is like why I do what I do. Mm-hmm. Like when I see it, like a lot of times you see kids that are the troublemakers, that are the kids that you know, typically will get kicked out of school eventually.
Yeah.
Or not eventually, but they actually do get kicked out of school. They'll like come back into this program and they'll be like, I really like dance. Like, I really enjoy this.
And
they excel and they become the best kid in the class. So,
oh, wow.
Like,
you've
when I
seen that firsthand?
Every year I see it happen. So when I see that, like, it's like, this is why I'm here. It's like, this is a reason for these kids to be here.
He could take a troublemaker, a problematic kid getting kicked out of class into one of the most efficient B-boys in the class. Dude.
And they become the star. So it's like, it changes their mentality. Like,
yeah. Dude, that's great, man. Are there like, they should have more programs of what you're doing, dude.
We're trying like right now.
Is it nonprofit? Like, how does this work, man?
So I used to work for a program in Sacramento. I was part of a couple of programs in Sacramento where we were all nonprofit. We worked through grants. So it's a little bit of a struggle now in LA. Like, I work for a program called Universe Soul, and they kind of handle.
Shout out to Universe Soul.
Yeah, Universe Soul is like.
Are they
really
on the
great.
Internet or like how do people?
You can find them on Instagram, and you can find them. They have a website too.
How'd you link up with them?
One of my friends, her name is Tiffany Bong. She's
shout out to Tiffany Bong.
She's the owner. And so when I moved here, I started talking to her, and then she offered me to teach some classes, and I went through her training, and we basically spent a lot of time writing our program, writing the lesson
like
plans.
Like mission statements?
Yeah. Or just mainly like lesson plans. Just like, why is this program important for schools to have?
It's very important.
So we started writing like according to school standards and making it like not just something that schools want to have, but need to have.
So that's where it changed.
So it's not just something that's like, oh, this is fun for the
it's
kids.
Part of the curriculum.
But this is something that, oh, kids, they need this.
They need this.
So wow, that's amazing, what changed.
Dude. And
I think that's like that's one of the things that is a stepping stone for a lot of dancers, is because if you just like walk up to a school and you're like, hey, I want to teach a class, they're going to be like, nope. So it's like coming up with that, the whole like, the planning part.
That's amazing.
That's what changes.
Have you seen a kid like one of those kids, that problematic kid, but then he'll grow up to be like on the circuit, like he's like one of the dudes in the b-boy world? Like,
I haven't seen. Well, there's actually a couple of kids that I used to teach a long time ago. Mm-hmm. They actually got really good, and a number of them are actually dancing right now for Jabberwockies in Las Vegas.
Oh, those dudes are large, right?
And those kids, like, actually three of them are from Sacramento.
Aren't some of them from a crew called Rock So Fresh? Rock So Fresh from San Diego?
Oh, maybe. I think
Eddie Styles.
Oh, maybe.
Aren't there two dudes? I saw a documentary or something.
You're right. Yeah, yeah.
I think so.
So in Sacramento, there's this crew called, they're called Boogie Monsters.
Oh.
And
just like the rap group in the 90s?
Yeah, yeah.
That's good. But that's crazy. They have the same name?
Yeah. Boogie Monsters. Well, I don't know if it's, they at the end is a Z.
No. It's S with the rap group I'm thinking of in the 90s. It's with the S. It's one of my favorite rap groups.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're from Virginia.
So some of those, like the creators of that crew also were part of the people that started Jabberwockies. Mm-hmm. So when they got on, like when they blew up, they brought a lot of their homies up. Like,
yeah.
So
those guys, so the Jabberwockies, let's go back to that. That was an eclectic kind of a dance group with different backgrounds, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you had B-boys, you had...
Mainly hip-hop. Choreography.
But there's some B-boys.
Yeah, there's B-boys. Yeah. And
Have you heard of those Jabberwockies?
Yes, yeah.
They used to do like Vegas shows and stuff.
Yeah, they still do.
They have
ongoing show in Vegas.
Or something. I remember seeing on television.
They won America's Best Dance Crew.
Yeah, they won that competition. Yeah. So as far as a dancer, that's like kind of like almost the pinnacle, right? When you get that, like on that stage,
I guess it depends on what you want out of it.
Yeah,
because some people's goals is like, I want to battle, like I want to.
Or aren't some people just want to cipher and just?
Yeah, some people just want to cipher.
You gotta respect that as well, don't you? Because they're doing it for the real pure.
That's like the true, like
the
underground.
Yeah.
Like you're not
the
doing it to
problem
like
with that. There's not a lot of money in that.
Yeah, that's the tough part. I think just being a dance, like making money off being a dancer, it's tough. Because like you get injured, then you can't make money.
So this is a good transition to my next section of how does one get by financially being doing this dance? The dance you guys do.
There's a number of outlets. Like I feel like the dance scene's gotten to a point where it's starting to get somewhat like financially stable. Mm-hmm. Like there are bigger events that actually have money behind it that mm-hmm. are paying people to judge, paying people to organize mm-hmm. it. And,
people get paid to judge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
and
that's cool.
Yeah. So, I mean,
you gotta be an OG for them to ask you, right? You gotta be like Poe or something.
Right.
Yeah. They'll be like, hey Poe,
especially for the bigger ones.
Yeah.
And then there's people teach, and there's mm-hmm. actually people that there's a lot of people that are in the LA entertainment industry. Mm-hmm. A lot of people actually. And then there's also people that, battle for a living, which is kind of,
how hard is that though?
I feel like it's like gambling. Like,
oh, cause you might not have a good
night. You might win. You might not.
Okay. So if you go to an event in, Arizona, or do they fly you out there, or do you have to get your own airfare? And
it depends. Especially if you're I've seen dancers that are up and coming and their name's getting out there, people fly them out. Because if they're there, they're gonna bring in other people.
But what
to
if
watch.
You don't have a name but you want to do
that's,
it?
That's how you that's what you got you gotta you start
to,
somewhere.
That's what you see. You have to it's a risk. Yeah. You're rolling the dice.
So you gotta fly yourself out. So but for those people, it's not about the money, it's about
respect.
The respect.
They wanna get the rep.
Right. So I think
that's how you have to get the rep. You have to just fly yourself out there or rent a car.
Yeah.
Stay
drive
at the
somewhere.
Hotel, I mean, go to Holiday Inn.
We used to like drive from Sacramento to Portland, Oregon and Seattle to battle. So it's like, and then
yeah, there's Portland crews, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a good amount.
I'm talking to one right now. I can't remember, but I talked to him on Instagram, and he mentioned.
Do you remember? You remember his name?
Yeah, I'll tell you. Well, you might know him, huh?
Is he a Vietnamese guy?
Yeah, he goes by.
Is he a dentist?
Marcavelli.
Oh wait, Marcavelli.
He's this Murky Waters NBC.
Is there a picture of his face? Oh wait, no, I don't know him.
Oh, okay.
There's this crew that we used to be good friends with called Moon Patrol.
And oh, okay.
They used to always throw events and they come to our town.
They're from Portland?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
But there was this one guy, he became a dentist, and there was a video floating around of him like breaking at his dentist's office.
Oh, that's so
and
cool.
That's what I thought you were talking about.
I'm sure that went viral.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where were we at? I mean, we've talked about so much. As far as making a living doing the dance you guys love doing, it's you have to get kind of creative, huh?
Yeah, it's like I think it's like any art, like artists, like
yeah,
there's.
I have a show coming up. As far as I have an MC set on Saturday. You should actually come. I'll tell you about it after. But I have to, that's my merch there, and I have to. I mean, we're getting paid, but I'm splitting the money, with my other bandmates, because I have a drummer showing up and my DJ and another keyboardist. So I need to sell merch to even like make some money.
I think that's a struggle of just being an artist in general.
You gotta hustle.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, you have to hustle.
You gotta hustle. And I think like through the years, like I've even changed like my hustle, like in different aspects. And
like in what ways? I'm interested.
Well,
the teaching thing's a great outlet, though.
Like, so. I think at one point I was trying to, like when I first started, for example, I was teaching in studios, and it was kind of like it kind of was, it wasn't the population I wanted to work with, but it was also based on like how many students were in the class. So like I had to bring in students to actually make money there. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really like that. So like, that's kind of where I transitioned into working with schools where I would be contracted and being paid a set rate, and that helped me become more sustainable
as
a teacher.
I'm gonna do a proposition. What is your asking rate if we clear the bed, the purple bed, to the, because I don't want to harm the new bed. We put that to the wall, and you, me, him, and George, and then we have you teach us. What's your rate for that day? If we want to take a class from you, and we could vlog it too.
I'll do it for free. You don't got to worry about it.
No,
right?
We gotta give you a little dough.
Nah,
for that.
It's a complimentary.
No.
We'll do a special video later.
Oh, we'll do it later. Because I wanna learn. The reason why I want to learn is because I'm a fan of watching it, and I used to do house dancing.
Yeah.
But I would do it primarily just to get in, to get in shape. Because this ain't,
Let's do it.
That's my next question. How do b-boys stay in shape? Because it's a physically demanding thing you guys do.
I mean, there's definitely like
your diet,
training. I mean, diet, like I think a lot of people like think about too much. Like this, it kind of sucks. Like there's always these like stupid trends in diets. Like you see every single year, like, oh, there's this diet and this diet.
And
then people go on, especially if they're an athlete, and then they just mess themselves up. Yeah. Like they starve themselves.
Are you on a diet? You don't diet.
Nah.
And you're naturally thin and strong looking.
I mean, look.
It's the dancing itself, because it's so physically demanding.
I try to eat maintain a balanced diet. And then, of course, training. I think that's the biggest thing. Is like there's a lot of things that'll help with strength training, but actually
like
just
what?
Dancing.
Like what? Push-ups?
Push-ups. Like a lot of...
Do push-ups help dancing?
Yeah. Or at least breaking. I can't...
So, Bryce, we got to start doing push-ups, man.
I just started this week.
Wait. How many are you doing, dude?
I'm embarrassed to say. Do I
how many are you doing? No. I'm not judging you.
Because over the holidays, I realized, man, I am weak. So... I'm just keeping it small,
Yeah.
7. So
that's cool.
I get tired at 10.
I get tired at 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it depends how fast you go. If you go really slow, you'll get tired really early.
But that helps b-boying is push-ups?
Yeah. I mean, any type of core workout like will really help breaking, because a lot of people think like to be able to hold yourself up on one arm is like purely arm strength, but a lot of it is just
your
right
gut?
In here.
Oh, your shoulders, your back.
Yeah. Just like more like your back, your stomach, your core, the core of your body. It just, that's what's
can
really.
You can do handstands and all that.
Yeah, I wouldn't say like because break like learning how to dance, learning how to street dance is very different than like learning gymnastics. Like if I did gymnastics, I would have perfect handstands.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got
like
some like. Funny, funky looking handstands.
Oh, okay.
But I'm
but
working
you can
on
do it. But yeah, you're working.
That's one of the things I work on is like trying to like perfect those little things.
Because it's a part of it.
Yeah. So even though I've been dancing almost 20 years, I still work
on. Dude, 20 years. And you're still learning?
Yeah, I'm still trying to.
That's how
learn
I feel
things.
About this rap, this MC and stuff. There's always so many new styles and writing techniques and so many different things that to learn, you know, and it's always changing.
Yeah, I think that's like when you fall off, when you stop learning. So it's,
you have to always kind of, you know, it stimulates your mind as well. It's good. It's a challenge.
I feel like if I stopped learning, I'd get bored. Like, I would like there'd be no reason for me to dance. Mm-hmm. Like when I go practice, like there's some people I see practice, they're just showing off. Right. And for me, that's not, you're not growing if you're just showing off. Like you have to,
like, so people just show off their moves.
Yeah. Like they go to a practice spot and they'll just like do their best moves. And then they go to another practice spot, do the same thing. But for me,
where's the dance in that if they're just doing moves?
Oh, not necessarily moves. They're still dancing.
Oh,
but like,
but they're showing off.
Yeah. Versus like putting yourself in a situation where you're uncomfortable and you're trying something new. You're trying something.
Oh, you look vulnerable.
Yeah,
but that's
exactly.
But that's where the growth may be.
Exactly.
If you look vulnerable, if you're vulnerable, right?
That's also why I like practice. I like practicing with like just my friends. Like,
would you like to practice with me and Bryce?
Yeah, I'll practice with you guys.
Steve,
I would love. No. I would love my goal. I would love to have him at a club. He's just chilling at a club, and then out of nowhere.
And then he's gonna battle somebody.
No. He just starts getting busy in a certain. Like he creates. You know, he just people would be amazed at this guy.
I would love that.
That's
something I'll teach you guys in the first class is how to do that. How to generate that energy.
Character.
Yeah.
So is there, you could come up with your own character?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So
like,
you could be Spider-Man?
That's actually, yeah. And,
or like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle?
You could be, anything. Like, and that's actually one of the things I teach my kids is like, think of like a character,
what
a
cartoon.
What about
an animal?
Yeah, think of a chicken. How does a chicken move? And now show me how to do the things I just taught you in the character of a chicken.
Whoa, that's crazy.
And then it changes the look of the move. It changes and it like stimulates creativity.
Okay, so with him, what would you ask him to do?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of an animal.
Like a brontosaurus.
A brontosaurus.
A giraffe.
Or a giraffe. Or giraffe style.
Giraffe style, yeah.
Long legs.
Yeah.
That might be his style. Yeah.
Or a spider?
A spider would be good. Spider's like...
Because he has to go on the ground like...
Because spiders move pretty cool, so...
Yeah. No, I don't want to embarrass you.
What's going on here?
God, that's so interesting, man. Yeah, I would like... Man, I'm hoping, since you're the... I would hope that other dancers or b-boys watch this, because I'm trying to get more dancers. I find it fascinating.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
It's a legit art form.
Yeah.
I'm a lifetime fan. I love just... I'm just in awe of watching it.
If you need help connecting with anybody, just let me know.
I reached out to B-Boy Casper and then this guy from Oregon and another guy. We're close to locking them down, but I think they're just busy.
Yeah, a lot of people are busy, especially like
You might be teaching a workshop somewhere. You might be in Sweden or something. So, I mean, after we'll talk and then we'll see what's up. How we doing on time? I think that was we're over an hour. Now, this is the time. Dude, Vinsanity. How'd you come up with the name? Hold up. How'd you come up with the name? Your name's Vince.
I didn't actually come up with it. It's just like...
It's like insanity.
Yeah, I think it's just because like before I started dancing, I did martial arts. So like,
wait, what kind of martial arts?
Well, it started out with just like me and my brothers in the backyard, like just we'd watch kung fu movies and we'd be inspired and we'd go train in the backyard.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then eventually I took taekwondo. And so when I first started dancing, I was like doing just martial art moves with dance moves. So people are like, wow, that guy looks kind of crazy right now.
Yeah.
So I think that's why my friends, they just named me Vinsanity.
I like it. That's unique, right? There's he's probably the one and only Vinsanity.
Except for Vince Carter.
Nah. There's only wind and sanity, yeah. Brother. There's only wind and sanity. Now, like, this is the time where we plug all your stuff. Did you want to, what, your Instagram?
My Instagram is at B-Boy of Insanity.
And that's V-I-N-C-A-N-I-T-Y.
Right.
Right?
And then my YouTube is youtube.com/VINCANITV. So Vinsanity TV.
Dude, you have a lot of subscribers, dude. Like, how long? How many videos do you have up?
There's a lot. I've lost track.
When did you start that? I'll holler at you after, but yeah.
I can't remember. Like, I mean, I started at least about 5 years ago.
His channel is booming, dude. Yeah. We'll talk to you after.
We need
some pointers.
Of course.
Yeah, we'll put the link in the description. Okay, so, dude, thanks again.
No problem.
I love having you. This is a historical, like I said, first dancer, first B-boy on the Stevie Weeby Show.
I have to
give some shout outs, right, Bryce?
Right.
To our new patrons, Zaid Briones, Mike Garcia, Loving the Journey, Steven Zahn, Stephen G. Hopkins, Keith Lopez, Daniel Serrano, and my man, H. Bogarts. If you want to help see this show be sustainable, please join our Patreon at patreon.com/Stevie Weeby. I'm doing a new diary series every Monday where it's just specifically for my patrons. And get involved. And we love it. Okay. I have new music available at stevieweebybandcamp.com. And thank you for the people who've bought music in the last week: Jared Fox, Brett Phillips, Nick Murphy, Janice Howie, H. Den Besten, Michael Martinez, Christopher Wu, and my main man, Joel Wilson. He paid $50 for Collage of the Mirage. Ask me if I like that. I love it. And I really encourage you guys to do what my man Joel did, okay?
You don't have to pay 50.
You don't have to pay 50, but God dang it, 50 is a good, that's a good number.
I'm going
that's
on the site.
That's a real good number, okay? I'm not going to plug the show because this will be after the show, right? I'm going to get there. Go to stevieweebybandcamp.com. If you want to follow the show, Instagram at QUANGOU. Send stuff to the Stevie Weeby Show, 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California, 90093. And do you want to do... God, man, that mattress, huh?
Mm.
You got to lay in it after, though. I mean, it looks soft as hell, right?
Yeah.
I don't even need... I used to listen to ASMR videos to sleep, you know, like the whispering. You know, and I'll be like,
That stuff creeps me out.
Yeah. But now I don't need that because right when I lay down on this beautiful purple mattress, I'm out. Yeah.
It looks like it would do that.
My girlfriend loves it. I love it. And you guys will love it too. Go to Purple Mattress. Is the website up?
Yes, the description. And
Purple Mattress, link in the description. Like I said, 100 night risk free trial. 100 nights. If you're not fully satisfied, you can return your mattress for a full refund. Backed up by a 10 year warranty. That's good. IKEA don't do that.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Free shipping and returns, free in home setup, and old mattress removal. You're going to love Purple. And right now, our listeners will get a free Purple pillow with the purchase of a mattress. This is in addition to the great free gifts they're offering site-wide. Just text Stevie 474747. Once again, type in the code Stevie, Stevie 4747. You like that, Bryce?
Love it.
You love it.
I love it. I love Purple Mattress.
I love Purple Mattress. Make sure you get a Purple Mattress today. Okay? Little Ray is not here tonight, but he's going to be back soon.
He's worn out from the show last
Yeah. So we'll see. He's probably tired from what he did the other week. Yeah. Thank you, Vinsanity. Nothing but the best. Hey, do you want to plug in the school program or how they could... donate to the school or like they need funding? Because I know there's a teacher strike right now. These programs need funding, right?
But I mean, actually, probably not.
Okay, that's cool. We'll talk after. All right, man. Dude, I loved it. And I can't wait for you to teach us some lessons.
Yeah, for sure. Let's do it soon.
I love it. I know. I dude. Think of that. All right, later.
It'll be a six pack next time.
Yeah. I love it. I love it.
To modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.